Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, dependent upon You, even in this, that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious truths of Your Word and how much rest and hope we can have in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Hear now the word of our God from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon, in light of everything that's happening with the COVID-19 virus, I thought Psalm 46 would be appropriate. We see here what great comfort we always have in our God. We see here what the truth upon which our rest rests. It's here. God is our refuge and strength. You see that right away in verse 1. That's exactly what we read, isn't it? He is the one that we can safely hide. The word for refuge there is a similar word, a word that also can be translated as a fortress. And you have to remember back in ancient times, if you were a farmer, which a lot of people were back in those days, they're very agrarian, so they had their vineyards or their olive orchards or their, you know, they were shepherds or Saul. I just love King Saul was a herder of donkeys. So, you know, you don't think of that often. But they were agrarian. That's what their lifestyle was. But when an enemy army came or there was a band of raiders that was coming, what would the people do? They would flee from their homes, they would flee from the fields, and they would run to the cities of refuge, the fortresses, for safety. Because they knew within those large stone walls, they would be protected. And the psalmist is drawing us to the Lord. He's saying, come to the Lord in your time of need. Come to the Lord In any fear you might have, come to Him, because in Him you can safely hide. He is your protection. He is your defense. Come. Come to Him. Come to the Lord and rest. Not only that, not only is the Lord pictured as this walled fortress in which we can dwell safely, but He's also our strength. You think about a city is only as strong as its defenders, right? And you can think about, well, it's one thing to run into a city, but what about my own strength? You can still dwell within a city, a great fortress, and still be terrified. You can do everything humanly possible to protect yourself, and you can still be fearful. And the psalmist says, run to the Lord, hide safe in Him, and remember this too, He is your strength. He is the one that will uplift you. He will uphold you. He will give you the strength you need to endure all of life's challenges and difficulties. To fight the good fight of faith. To run the race with endurance. God is our strength to do that. We don't and shouldn't even try to stand for a moment in our own strength, because we will fall. We will fall. We will fail then. We will be disheartened. We will be fearful. We may even be thrown into a panic. But when we rest safely in the Lord, and when we entrust ourselves to Him, and we rely upon His strength and not our own, then we are secure. Then we can stand. And not only that, but the psalmist then brings to our mind this glorious truth in verse 1 as well. Our God is a very present help in trouble. The word for present help communicates to us that God has been a known present help. In other words, we know that He has helped us in the past, and therefore we can have secure confidence that He will help us in the future and in the present. This is what we see here, the psalmist reminding us of. Look at the scriptures. Look at how the Lord has been faithful to His people all this time. Throughout all of redemptive history, you see God's faithfulness in the Scripture over and over and over again, even irregardless of the faithfulness of His own people. The Lord has remained faithful, and He has always helped His people. And this is our God in whom we place our trust. And we look at not only the Scriptures, but we can look at our own lives too and see the Lord at work there and know, the Lord brought me through that. The Lord brought me through that. The Lord brought me through that. Why do I have to fear? What do I have to be afraid of? I know that the Lord is with me. He has proven Himself to me to be faithful. I should have no reason to doubt. And so the psalmist says with confidence what we read in verses 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. There's three Selahs in this psalm, and the Selahs are placed at very specific points because the psalmist wants us to stop and think about what was just said. Meditate, reflect. And the psalmist is saying, even if the mountains fall apart and come crashing into the seas and there's tsunamis and devastation everywhere, even if all of that happens, I will not fear. Why? Because the Lord is my refuge and my strength. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. Though the whole world were to fall apart, we do not need to be fearful. For it is in the Lord that we safely hide and safely abide. The Lord is our strength. He upholds us through it all. Even when we falter, even when we fail, we have a hard time with balance. Even Buddha got that right. We have a hard time with balance in our lives. Balance between doing what's needful and what can wait, right? So often, my wife makes fun of me because in the moment there's something that's pressing that needs to be done, and me and my very small brain get distracted and all of a sudden start doing something that doesn't need to be done. It can wait. It could be done, you know, a week from now. So why did you take that up? Why? Well, got to balance priorities, right? We do this all the time. And in a time like we find ourselves, it's hard to balance between being aware of what is happening in the world around us and taking adequate precautions for it, and being fearful. It's a hard balance to keep. And yet, if we place our trust and our faith in the Lord, it is one that He helps us maintain. I love the idea that Spurgeon has when he's talking about Noah in the ark. He says, Noah probably fell a lot of times in the ark, but he never fell out of it. What a wonderful thing that is for us to think about. There are many times in life where we fall, where we tremble, where we struggle to believe and trust in the Lord, and yet the Lord never lets us fall out of the ark. He always keeps us in His love. He always keeps us in His faithfulness. We will never fall out of His love. We'll never fall out of His favor. We'll never lose our eternal salvation and our sure hope. And then we come to verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. When you look at what's described there, you have the picture of a siege, an enemy army besieging a city. And what would be the first thing back in those days that you would try to cut off from, if you were the enemy, if you were going to cut off the people and try to starve them out and try to get them to surrender, what would be the first thing you'd go after? You go after the water source. I'm going to try to cut them out, cut them off from water, so that way they'll get thirsty, because you can survive a little while longer without food, but if you don't have water, you're not going to make it too long. So let's try to make this victory as quick as possible, and let's cut off the water source. That's why Hezekiah's tunnel was so important. But here we have this beautiful picture that the psalmist paints for us, that within the city of God, remember this morning we talked about how we are like a city, like the New Jerusalem, set upon Christ. We are dwelling within this city, and though all the enemies of this world and life come against us to besiege us, they can't cut us off from the wellspring of Christ Himself. Christ describes Himself in John chapter 4 as the fountain of living water. And here we see that same imagery being borne out. That if we, the city of God, the people of God, dwell upon Christ, we will never go without His blessing. We will never be cut off from His love. We will never be cut off from His sustaining grace. We will never be cut off. It is impossible. For Christ is within us and is continually flowing into us and through us His magnificent grace. God is in the midst of us. God is in the midst of us. There, lavishly pouring out upon us His grace. Why? What do we have to be afraid of? How could we be moved? How could we be shaken? How could we tremble at anything in this life if God is in our midst? And you see verse 6 there, verse 5 at the last part of it, the last phrase, God shall help her just at the break of dawn. What that is describing is God's people are within the city. And what would happen in ancient times is that the enemy would always start the battle at sunrise from the east. Why is that? Well, try driving eastward in the morning. The sun is in your eyes, and it's hard to see. And so it gave the attackers an advantage. And so the fiercest fighting always happened at the break of day. And the psalmist is saying, even in the most harsh times, even when the attacks are coming against us with the greatest of ferocity, God is our help. He does not abandon us. Even when the fighting is the fiercest, even if we in our hearts feel that He has left us, He is there, and He is our help. Therefore, let us remember who it is that helps us. Verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. All God has to do is speak. That's all he has to do. There are so many wonderful stories in the Bible, brothers and sisters, where we see the immense power of our God just by Him speaking. Think about creation. He spoke it into existence. I love the story of Elisha and his servant at Dothan. When the Syrian army is surrounding them, ready to capture Elisha, because they got sick of Elisha warning the Israelite army of where they were going to be and where they were going to attack and giving it away. So they wanted to capture this prophet of the Lord. And here is Elisha and his servant completely defenseless, surrounded by the Syrian army. And what happens? The Lord opens the eyes of the servant to see an angelic army encircling the Syrian army. And if it was us, what would we have done? We would have said, "All right, angelic army, off with their heads." That's not what happens. There's not even a fight. The entire Syrian army is struck with blindness. And Elisha leads this blind army right into the capital of Israel, Samaria. Completely humiliated and humbled by the almighty power of God. And think of this. As John records for us in his gospel, when the servants of the high priest come to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is at his weakest point. He's sweating great drops of blood. And when they ask for Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, "Ego me, I am he, I am the one that you're looking for." When he says, "I am he," what happens? What does John record? They all drew back. All he did was speak in giving himself up. That is how powerful our God is. What do we have to be afraid of? The Lord will supply us with everything that we need. The Lord is our dwelling place, and He is in our midst to give us all the love, grace, mercy, and sustenance that we need. Though we may be besieged by this plague, we have no cause for fear, for our God will supply our every need. For even if death is His plan for us, has He not provided abundantly everything that we need to pass gloriously from this life to the next? And then we come to verses 8 through 10. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Mankind, in its arrogance, fights against and resists the Lord continually. Even now, as we look at the craziness that's happening in all the stores around town, we see all this panic buying. Toilet paper's out. These crazy rations that you can, army rations you can buy at Costco. Some of them are over $6,000 for a year and a half to feed one person. I mean, just crazy. They're sold out. Why? Because man, in his desperation, wants to think that he in himself is sufficient. That he can pull himself up by his own bootstraps. That he can do it. He is a God to himself. And I will do some great work to protect myself and to continue to build my kingdom. That is what mankind has always been doing. And that's why you see the selfishness grow rampant. And it is why you see this panic buying. Because people want to be comforted with the fact that I can do something to protect myself. And what a laughable thing, because toilet paper is not going to protect you as hard as you might think it will. It won't. Sorry. People used to hide behind rock walls, now toilet paper. I mean, it is getting ridiculous. What does that teach us? What does that remind us of? It teaches us that if we are to rest and trust in ourselves, there is no hope. There is no rest. But if we rest, if we come to the Lord, we will find rest. Because He is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in time of trouble. I find it funny, in a sad way, that in this city in particular, so many have abandoned the church. So many have abandoned the Lord because they don't think that they need Him. And yet, look what a little microscopic virus has caused them to do. This leads us then to the refrain. This is glorious stuff. In verses 7 and 11, it's easy to remember. 7-11, just remember that. Now it's stuck in your heads. 7-11, verses 7 and 11, you have the refrain, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Both times, Selah. The Lord of hosts communicates to us the Lord of the angelic armies is with us. The Lord of the heavenly hosts is with us. The one who in Psalm 91 says he gives his angels charge over us. And not only that, but the God of Jacob is our refuge. He's the one that is our fortress. He's the one that we can safely hide. And an important question when we get to this is, why is it the God of Jacob? Why isn't it the God of Abraham? Why isn't it the God of Isaac? Why isn't it the God of Israel, Jacob's other name? Why is it the God of Jacob? Well, one of the reasons it's Jacob and not the other patriarchs is, of course, from Jacob the 12 tribes came. And so, covenantally, yes, the same covenant was given to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. But it is a real reminder for us that the promises of God abide to all of God's people. But not only that, but when we look at Jacob, what is the story of Jacob such a beautiful reminder of? Well, what does Jacob's name mean? Deceiver. Not a great name. Deceiver. And when we look at Jacob's life, he deceived a lot, didn't he? He deceived his father, he deceived Esau, he deceived Laban. Lots of deception going on. Jacob wasn't the most upstanding person. There was a lot of sin in Jacob's life. And that's why it's such a comfort that it's the God of Jacob that is our refuge. That is such a comforting thing for us because we rest in the God whose faithfulness and love to us is not dependent upon us. His faithfulness, His covenant love is eternal and enduring to us simply because that is who He is. He will continue to be throughout all ages the refuge in which we can safely hide because that is who He is. That is what He promised to be to us. Even when we doubt. Even when we have struggles. Even when we stumble. Even when we, like Peter, start to sink into the water when Jesus calls him out to walk on the water, remember? Peter starts to walk for a moment, but then he sees the wind and the waves around him and he begins to sink in fear. Yes, he begins to sink, but what happens? Does he drown? No. Jesus reaches out his hand and grabs him and lifts him up and says gently to him, "Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? Did you have any reason to?" That's what he says to us. When we look at Psalm 46, do we have any reason to fear? No, we always act in faith. And what a blessing that is for us. As we think about who is our safety, who is our protection, who is our constant and ever faithful provider, our Lord and our God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please remind us of this psalm. Please remind us of the glorious truths that you say to us in it. May we with great confidence always remember what our comfort in life and in death is. That we belong body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully paid for all of our sins and delivered us from the tyranny of the devil, and watches over us in such a way that without the will of our Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from our head. Yes, all things must work together for our salvation. That is our comfort. That is the glorious gospel truth that we get to hold on to every single day of our lives. Lord, we forget that. And we take it for granted so often. And we don't treasure it as we should. But we pray, Lord, no matter what happens with this virus, may it, one thing, be true for each and every one of us. That You would grow us all in faith, to trust and rest more and more upon You, our triune God. And may we learn more and more to rest in You. Sometimes we like to ignore it, but the truth is that we are all burdened and heavy laden. Bid us, Lord Jesus, to come. Draw us, even if we're resistant, drag us, we pray, to come to You and find the rest that only You can provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.